Masechta's Kelayim, Parak Ches, Mishnah Hay, until Parak Tes, Mishnah Beis. The type of Kelayim which the Masechta focuses on in the 8th Parak is Kelei Behema, Kelayim involving animals, and there are two basic prohibitions involved in this. The first one is mating the animals together, and the second one is working the animals together. Now, we said in the previous Mishnah that when it comes to defining what an animal is, we follow the mother. And therefore, a mule, which is a cross between a horse and a donkey, so a mule can only be mated with another mule if their mothers are both the same, so either both the mothers are horses or both the mothers are donkeys. But one mule whose mother is a donkey cannot be mated with a mule whose mother is a horse. And because of this, haperutiois, this is a type of mule whose mother's status is not known. We're not sure whether the mother of this mule is a horse or a donkey. Usually there are ways to know, but in this case, the features which usually give away whether the mother was a horse or a donkey are not apparent on this particular animal. So if you've got two of these type of mules, then asurais, it's forbidden to mate them together or to work them together, because it could be that one of them has a mother who is a donkey and the other has a mother as a horse, which would be kelayim. However, the haramach, a ramach is some sort of animal whose mother is a horse. Some explain that it's a wild horse, but the point is the mother is certainly a horse, and therefore mutter, it's permitted to mate or work a ramach with another ramach, or even a horse, because we consider the ramach to be a horse because its mother is a horse. Now, because we're talking about defining animals and their status, the remainder of this Mishnah, and really the next Mishnah until the end of the Perek, will list the number of animals and define what type of animal they are. And the first animal on the list is a very interesting creature, and that is the Adnei Hasodeh, which literally means men of the field, wild men, and it refers to a certain creature whose hands and feet, as well as its face, is like a human being's, but it has a cord which is connected to its belly button, which connects it to the ground. So this creature is actually connected to the ground, and its life depends on being connected to the ground. So if this cord is cut, then the animal lets out a giant yell, a massive groan, and it dies. However, anybody who gets anywhere near this creature, as long as the creature can reach it, because it can't go that far because it's connected to the ground, but if you go near enough, then it rips the person to shreds. It's a very violent creature. And the Mishnah tells us that chayot is considered a wild animal. There are different categories of animals, domesticated, wild animals, and this creature comes under the category of a wild animal. And bearing in mind the description, this certainly makes sense. Now, what difference does it make what it's considered? With regards to kelayim, it doesn't make a difference. We learned in the Mishnah early on in this perek that with regards to kelayim, it makes no difference whether an animal is domesticated or not. But one example of a practical difference of whether it's a chaya or not is that if somebody says, let's say, I am selling so-and-so all my wild animals, so the Adnei Hasodeh would be included in that sale. Rabbi Yossi says, because this creature has similarities to a human being, it's actually considered a type of human being, at least with regards to the laws of purity, and therefore Matames Be'oihel Ke'odom. They can make things impure via Tumas Oihel, like a person. Tumas Oihel refers to Tumah, impurity, which is transferred from a dead body onto something else, by either being under the same roof as that thing, or by being under or over that thing. So what the Mishnah is saying is that just like if a human body was under the same roof as something else, the other thing would become Tomei, so too if this creature was dead, and it was under the same roof as something else, or if it was directly above or directly below something else, then that thing would become Tomei. Alright, onto the next creature, Hakupod. A hedgehog or a porcupine. The Chuldas Hasnoyim. Some sort of weasel which lives in the bushes. These two things are also considered chaya, they're considered to be a wild animal. And the point of the Mishnah is that they're not considered a sheretz. A sheretz is a type of small, crawling animal, and a dead sheretz can make things tomei in a different way to a wild animal who is dead can make things tomei. And the difference is as follows. When it comes to a wild animal which is dead, if somebody either touches that animal or carries the animal, and he doesn't need to do this to the entire animal, even if he just touches or carries the size of an olive, a kezias of the animal, then he becomes tomei. On the other hand, when it comes to a sheretz, one can only become tomei from it if he touches it, but there's a stringency in that you can become tomei even if you only touch the size of a lentil. Even then you become tomei. So according to the first opinion of our Mishnah, these two animals are considered a chaya, which means that if you touch or carry at least the kezias of it, then you'll become tomei. However, chuldas hasinoyim, when it comes to this type of weasel which lives in the bushes, Rabbi Yossi says in the name of Beis Shammai, that there's actually a doubt as to whether this is considered a chaya or a sheretz. There are eight type of shirotzim, 8 types of sherets which the Torah lists. And one of the things which the Torah lists is called a choled. And according to Rabbi Yossi, we're not sure whether this creature, the choldas hasnoyim, is part of the category, is it considered a choled. So we're not sure whether it's a sherets or a chaya. So because we're not sure, we give it the stringencies of both a chaya and a sherets. And therefore, matama kazayas b'masa, it can make somebody tomei if he carries a kazayas of it. That's a stringency which applies to a chaya, that even just by carrying it, it can become tomei. But we adopt the stringency of a sherets with regards to touching it, v'chadosh b'maga, one can become tomei by touching even the size of a lentil. Mission evolved. Next type of animal, sherbar, a wild ox. According to the Tanakhama min Behema, it's considered a domesticated animal, and therefore we ignore the fact that it's wild, and we consider it to be a normal ox, and therefore it can be mated with an ox, can be worked with an ox, it wouldn't be kelayim. However, Rabbi Yossi says, min chaya, it's considered a wild animal, meaning it's not considered to be the same as a regular ox. So you would not be able to mate it or to work it with a regular ox. And these two opinions, they both learn it out from Psukim. And another important ramification of whether it's considered domesticated or not, and this isn't relevant to Kelayim, is that it's forbidden to eat the fat of a domesticated animal. But you are allowed to eat the fat of a wild animal, as long as that animal is kosher. So according to the Tanakhama, who holds it's a domesticated animal, you would not be able to eat the fat. But according to Rabbi Yossi, you would. Next, Kelev. A dog, according to the Tanakhama, min chaya, it's considered a wild animal. So for example, if somebody were to sell all his wild animals to another person, the dog would be included. However, Rabbi Meir says, min behema, it's actually considered a domesticated animal. Next, chazir, a pig, min behema, that's considered a domesticated animal. Oroid, a wild donkey, is considered min chaya, it's considered a wild animal. And therefore it would not be able to be mated or worked with a regular donkey, because a regular donkey is a behemah, and it's considered a totally different animal. Hapil v'hakoif, an elephant and a monkey, min chaya, they are considered to be wild animals. And now the Mishnah ends off this perek by telling us that v'odom, a person, mutarim kulam, is permitted with all of them, all animals, whether they're domesticated or not, limshoich, to pull a wagon or something else for lachroish, and to plow or a hanheg, and to lead an animal, meaning that kilayim of animals does not apply to a human being. The Torah says, l'shachroish b'shor v'chamor yachdov. You can't use an ox and a donkey to plow together. So even though we have explained earlier on in the perek that it's not limited to those two animals specifically, it's just a common example, nevertheless, that does limit it to animals. So a person would be able to work together with another animal, and that is learned from that posuk. The ninth and final perek of Maseches Kelayim discusses the fourth category of Kelayim, which we haven't yet discussed, and that is known as Shatness. And the basic prohibition of Shatness is that one is not allowed to wear clothes which contain both wool and linen in them. Now, when it came to Kelei Behema, Kelayim of animals, although the Torah says Lo Sachrish Peshur V'Achamor Yachdov, that you can't work an ox and a donkey together, we interpret that to include all different animals. However, when it comes to Kelayim of clothes, Kelei V'Godim, the Torah says, "Silba shatnez, tzemer ufishtim yachdov." You shall not wear shatness, which is wool and linen together. We don't interpret that to mean all different materials, that you can never mix materials together. Rather, ein osam mishum kilayim el tzemer ufishtim. The only thing which is prohibited and included of kilayim of clothes is wool and linen. Ufishtim actually literally means flax, but linen is made from flax, so both flax and linen would be included in pishtim. And tzemer includes wool, which comes from a sheep specifically. Now, while we're on the topic, the Mishnah tells us as well that another thing which is specific to wool and linen only is with regards to tzaraas. Tzaraas is a type of tumor, a type of impurity, which appears as spots, either on a person's body, on a person's clothes, or on a person's house. And the tzaraas which comes on a person's clothes will only make the clothes tomei if they are made out of wool or linen. Ve'inam tam banagoyim, the only clothes which can become tomei with tzaraas is elot tzemer ufishtim, is just wool or linen clothes. And that again is explicitly mentioned in the Torah, that it says, ki yiyeh bo negat tzaraas bebeged tzemer or bebeged pishtim. When somebody will have tzaraas on a woolen piece of clothing or clothing from flax. And a third thing which is specific to wool and linen, and this is actually connected to Kelayim once again, and that is with regards to the Bigdei Kahuna, the clothes which a Kohen wears in the Beis HaMikdosh, when he's working in the Beis HaMikdosh. And one of those items of clothing is the Avnit, the belt which he would wear. And whereas all of the other clothes which he would wear were made purely out of linen, the Avnit, the belt, was made out of both wool and linen. The Torah says so explicitly. says that the belt should contain techeles, which is made of wool, as well as our gomon and telas shoni. These are all pieces of wool which are dyed in different colours. And as well as that, it contained bad and sheish, which were types of linen. So the Torah explicitly says that an avnet contains both wool and linen. So this is an exception to the kelayim, it's an exception to shatnez, which the Torah explicitly gives. So the Mishnah tells us that in akonim loshim l'shamis v'veis ha-medrash, elot tzemer u'fishtim. The kohanim cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash without wearing both wool and linen together, meaning that they have to wear the garments. They have to wear the Bigdei Kohana, and one of them contained kelayim, but of course that's okay and actually necessary, because the Torah says that the avnet contains kelayim. Now the hair of a camel is called in Hebrew tzemer, which is the same word for wool. However, the tzemer which the Torah refers to in the prohibition of kelayim is specifically the wool of a sheep. And therefore the Mishnah tells us that tzemer gemalim and tzemer rechelim shetirofon ze bazeh. The hair of a camel with the wool of a sheep, which somebody mixed together, and now you've got this material which is made up of both wool and another material. So in Reuven HaGemalim, if the majority of this mixture is the hair of the camels, then the wool is botel berov, which means it's nullified by the majority. Since the majority is not wool, we consider the entire mixture not to be wool, so much so that mutter, it's permitted to actually mix that with linen and then wear that piece of clothing, because we consider that to be a mixture of linen and camel hair. But vim rov min harechelim, if the majority of the mixture is from the wool, if it's from the sheep, then also it's forbidden to mix it with linen, because we would consider that entire mixture to be wool. And mechtzah lemechtzah, what happens if it's exactly half-half? So half of it is wool. So in that case, the wool is not nullified. We don't view the entire mixture as the camel's hair. So therefore there is wool in this mixture, which means that also it's forbidden to mix it with linen and to wear that. The truth is you are allowed to mix it. There's no prohibition within kelayim to actually make a piece of clothing which has kelayim. We saw that at the beginning of the previous perek. The only prohibition involved is to wear it. And the Mishnah adds on at the end, the same would apply to linen, to flax and kanbos, which was mixed together. And kanbos is again similar to flax, but it's not actually flax. And therefore, if the majority of the mixture is kanbos, then we consider the entire mixture to be considered kanbos. And therefore, you would be able to mix that with wool and then wear that piece of clothing. Mishnah Beis, this Mishnah has three parts, and the first part tells us that Hashirayim v'Hakoloch, these are two types of silk. Hashirayim is a soft, fine type of silk, and in that way it's similar to linen, and Koloch is a much coarser silk, although it's also soft, like wool. So strictly speaking, Ein Bahem Mishum Kelayim, they are not included in the prohibition of Kelayim. If they were both contained in a piece of clothing, you would be able to wear that, because, as we said in the previous Mishnah, Shatnez only applies to wool and linen. Aval Asurim Le'Maisa Ayin, but it's still forbidden to wear a garment which contains these two materials. And the reason for this is because in those days, silk was not so common. So when people saw these two types of silk, they thought that it looked like wool and linen, and that this garment was Shatnez. And therefore, because of Maisa Ayin, because it appears like you're doing an Avera, it was forbidden to wear a garment which contained these two types of silk. Now the Torah says, Uveged Kilaim Shatnez Lo Yale Olecha, that clothing which contains shatnez shall not go upon you, meaning you cannot wear it on you, which implies that hakoyim v'hakasasos, mats and pillows, cushions, ein bahem shum kelayim, are not included in the prohibition of kelayim, because those you sit upon. You don't wear them on you, rather you sit on them, and therefore it's permitted. However, uvilvad shelo yeh b'sor nogea bohem, as long as one's flesh, as long as one's skin does not touch them, then it's okay to lie on them. But if they are touching, if your skin does touch the cushions, then that is too similar to it being on you, and therefore it's forbidden midrabbanan. Now the truth is, the Yerushalmi explains that we're talking about hard mats here, and hard cushions, but soft cushions, even if your skin does not touch them, it's still forbidden midrabbanan, because you're worried the part of the cushion might come off, it might be slightly worn away, and it will end up sticking to you, in which case you'll have kelaim on you. So to prevent that occurring, it is forbidden mejabonon even to sit on cushions which contain both wool and linen. Okay, third part of the Mishnah, and this is very important, ein arai lechilayim. It's forbidden to wear kilayim even temporarily. Even a piece of clothing which, let's say, somebody does not consider significant. Let's say somebody would only wear this piece of clothing indoors. So you might think it's not considered a significant item of clothing. Nevertheless, says the Mishnah, it does not need to be considered significant. Rather, any article of clothing cannot be worn if it contains both wool and linen. One cannot wear a item of clothing which contains kelayim, even on top of 10 other items of clothing. So even if you're not benefiting at all from the kelayim, and even if it's put on you in a way that you're not going to keep it on for very long, it's still forbidden, afilu gnivas ha-meches, even to steal the tax. And what we're referring to here is tax which is illegal. If, let's say, there's a powerful official in the area who tries to force people to give him tax, but it's not actually authorized or legal. So often the official would tax the person, but not for the clothing which he was wearing. So if somebody wanted to avoid having to give this tax on more clothing, so he'll try and put more clothes on so he does not have to pay for them. So the Mishnah says that since you can't put clothing on temporarily if it contains kelayim, so even in this situation you would not be able to put those clothings on, even if it means you'll have to pay for them, because you cannot wear kelayim even for 1 second.